Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. The 2014 Major League Baseball season kicks off on Sunday evening. It takes place in San Diego when the Padres take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Minnesota Twins open their season on Monday in Chicago with a game against the White Sox. The Twins' home opener is Monday, April 7th. The Twins are coming off three consecutive seasons. So how do things look for 2014? To answer that question, I'm joined by Matt Zimmer, who writes about the Minnesota Twins and baseball for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And Matt, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
Well, do Twins fans want to hear the answer to that question?
No. I sure love to be the guy to sort of break rank from the rest of the baseball world as far as the observers and prognosticators and such, who all seem to think that it's going to be another ugly season for the Twins, but I sure see it the same way. There is a little reason for optimism this time around as opposed to the last couple of years, just because obviously some of the guys in the minor league system are moving closer and becoming big names and kind of getting to a point where I think everyone understands that there legitimately are better days ahead for the Twins. And I also think you have to give them some credit. They went out and spent some money this offseason, brought in some pitchers that, you know, aren't going to contend for a Cy Young Award, but certainly are going to give them some credibility and some stability that should just make it a little easier for them to get through the season. But ultimately, when you look at that team as a whole and what else is in the division and around the American League, I really think they're going to struggle to score runs. And I just do not think that this is a team that's, even though I think they are moving things in the right direction, they are not ready this year to compete.
So we're still in another rebuilding year.
Well, I think is sort of the thing. Just because they've had three consecutive 90-loss seasons doesn't necessarily mean they were rebuilding all along. And I think that's an area where you can really criticize the Twins. I think what they should have done after they had that terrible 2011 season is start rebuilding right there. I think they should have acknowledged that, hey, you know, we're in a tough spot here. We need to make some changes. We maybe need to start over a little bit. But they were very stubborn. They were coming off a season, obviously, where they had won the division. They had just moved into Target Field. I think they were afraid to go into a rebuild mode because they just moved into this new stadium. They didn't want to anger the fan base. So they kind of tried to keep competing and, you know, convince themselves that they weren't as bad off as they were. And they went on and you know, made some additions with the interest of trying to continue to win now and stay competitive. And it just ended up digging them a bigger hole because, you know, for all the things that improved from 2011 to 2012, they only won three more games. And then last year, I think they finally kind of said, okay, maybe things aren't as good as we thought, and maybe committed a little bit more to a rebuild mode. But again, they were still going out, you know, signing some free agent pitchers and doing some things, and again, they lost 96 games. So I think it wasn't really until maybe sometime before last year or even going into this year that they finally kind of admitted to themselves and to their fans that, okay, this is a rebuilding process. And that's unfortunate because, you know, if you're not doing one or the other, either competing or rebuilding to compete, you kind of get stuck in this holding pattern, which ends up just making the hole deeper, and I think that's where the Twins find themselves right now.
And just turning off the fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, you know, when you have a situation where the Twins have a couple of bad years like they did recently, I think it's a good thing when your fans are really angry and upset because, you know, that shows that they're invested, that they care, and that they expect the team to win. The worst possible situation from the standpoint of the franchise, whether you're, you know, ownership or front office or whatever, is when the fans become indifferent or when they get to a situation where they're no longer surprised by the losing or it doesn't bother them anymore because they've come to expect it. And obviously, you know, the Twins went through that situation to a great extent in the mid to late 1990s when the losing just continued to go on for, I think it ended up being a streak of 7-8 years. And by the end of that, obviously it didn't help that they were in the Metrodome. Clearly, the Twins sort of fell off the radar in Minnesota and the Twin Cities in the area where people just didn't care that much. They expected the Twins to be bad every year, and it took them a while to win those fans back. Once they did, you know, they were able to create that level of expectation, and that's where they want to get back to. And that's why I think these next couple of years are really, really important because they're perilously close to sort of losing that fan base and getting them to a point where they say, okay, we don't care about this team anymore.
Well, the Twins won their division when they moved into Target Field, what was that, 2010, and then the three consecutive losing seasons. Does any of that have to do with learning how to play in Target Field, adjusting to that, or is it just that you didn't have the players or you didn't have the right coaching?
Well, in fairness to the Twins, they did have a lot of bad breaks in 2011, that first losing season. They were coming off a playoff year, obviously their first year in Target Field. So, you know, that was one concern that I had, was when they moved into Target Field, would they be able to continue winning with their style of play? And they did right off the bat. Then in 2011, like I said, they did have a lot of bad breaks. I mean, there were tons and tons of injuries that year. You know, the Justin Morneau thing happened, and that obviously had long-ranging effects. And, you know, a bunch of pitchers went down, and some other guys, you know, sort of flamed out just when it looked like they were becoming good players. So there was some bad luck. But again, I think what really hurt the Twins isn't so much that, you know, they had to change their style of play to move into Target Field or anything like that. I just think they kind of didn't recognize the signs. You know, they didn't take that losing season seriously. They kind of tried to chalk it up, oh, this is just a fluke. Once everybody gets healthy, everything will be fine. And by the time they sort of recognize that, no, there are really some flaws in this organization, philosophical, personnel-wise, it was too late.
Manager Ron Gardenhire was re-signed last year to the chagrin of some Twins fans who blame him, saying that complain that he's perhaps not tough enough on his players. How much of this can be laid at the feet of Ron Gardenhire?
Well, I think some of it. I know I wasn't necessarily surprised that he was brought back, because I don't think any manager in baseball would have got the Twins to the playoffs with the personnel they had last year. I do think it's fair that people are sticking up for Guardy and saying, hey, this isn't all his fault. That's true. But some of it is his fault. You know, I mean, he has an impact or a voice in the personnel and in the team's philosophies. I mean, he's the guy who chased J.J. Hardy out of town, who is now an all-star Gold Glove shortstop in Baltimore, and they replaced him with Tsuyoshi Nishioka, who might be the worst player in team history. I mean, those are big mistakes that the manager had a hand in. I mean, I think he's chased away. I don't want to say chased away, but there have been a lot of players that, you know, Carlos Gomez came over in the Johan Santana trade, and the Twins couldn't do anything with him. They got rid of him. He's now one of the best players in baseball in Milwaukee. Francisco Liriano, the Twins gave up on him. He's going to be Pittsburgh's opening day starter this year. So there have been a lot of players that the Twins have failed to reach or failed to, you know, get to produce or for whatever reason. So I don't think it's entirely fair to just completely absolve Guardy. Yes, he's been dealt a bad hand a couple times, but to say that he hasn't been given any talent and that it none of it is his fault, I don't buy that either.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. The baseball season is just about to get underway. The Minnesota Twins open their season on Monday in Chicago against the White Sox, and we're discussing what the Twins might be up to this season with Sioux Falls Argus Leader sports reporter Matt Zimmer. Looking at the Twins today, or at least some of the players that they brought back or brought signed up for on the offseason, a couple of past players that the people, Twins fans, are familiar with, relief pitcher Matt Guerrero, and there's outfielder Jason Kubel. How did they work out in spring training? I believe Matt Guerrero isn't going to be around.
Yeah, it hasn't gone great. They also brought back Jason Bartlett, the former shortstop. I think that was the other guy you're trying to think of. Bartlett, I think, had two hits all spring, and he hasn't been cut yet, but it sounds like they're trying to work out a deal to where he can stay with the organization, go down to AAA for a while. They did the same thing with Matt Guerrero. He's still coming back from an injury, and I saw him pitch a couple times in spring training, and I actually thought he looked pretty good. So I was glad that the Twins were able to work out a deal that they can keep him in the organization, send him down to Rochester, and hope that he can get completely healthy, because he looks like he could still help him. Bartlett could be a utility guy. He took an entire year off. He didn't even play baseball last year, so maybe that's why he hasn't hit. Maybe it's just taking him a while to get his bat speed and his timing back. I don't know. But he really did struggle this spring. But on the other hand, you know, he can play a lot of different positions, and I understand why the Twins are bringing guys like that back in, because those are guys that were all part of the Twins winning seasons a few years ago. They're from that era when the Twins were consistently a contender. And so I think maybe part of what they're trying to do is just, you know, sort of change the culture and bring some guys in there that have experienced success in a Twins uniform and hope that that can rub off on some of the other guys. And you know, obviously morale is low when you've had three consecutive seasons of almost 100 losses. So I understand them bringing those guys in and hoping they can, again, sort of just rub off on guys in a positive way. But so far, Bartlett, Greer, Kubel, I mean, none of them have actually played that well. So hopefully once the regular season gets going, they can maybe get things turned around a little bit, because that would be nice to see a couple of guys, three guys, who were a big part of the Twins' success earlier last decade, help them get back to that level of play.
Now, the franchise player is still Joe Mauer. He's he moved to first base last year with Justin Morneau traded. How has Joe Mauer been looking in spring training?
He hasn't done a whole lot, he's never been a guy, let's put it this way, who's put up big spring training numbers. So I'm certainly not concerned about the fact that he hasn't done a whole lot at the plate. I'd like to think that moving him out from behind the plate, putting him over at first base, isn't just going to keep him healthier and get him in the lineup more often. I'd like to think that it'll lead to a spike in his offensive numbers, you know, because he'll just be more energized, more healthy, able to sort of turn it loose a little bit more on offense. Whether or not that will actually happen, who knows? I mean, there haven't been a ton of guys who have made that transition before. Obviously, Joe Mauer is a special case. He's one of the greatest hitting catchers that ever lived. He's one of the best athletes in professional sports. So I'm pretty optimistic that he's going to continue to be a good player, and I also think he's going to be a very good fielding first baseman. I don't think he's going to struggle making that transition in the field, just because that's what a gifted athlete he is. But it would be really nice to see him go out there and hit 330 with 20 home runs, because as desperate as this lineup is for production, they need that from him, because if he comes out and is only hitting 290 with 7 or 8 home runs, that's really going to put a strain on this offense, because there aren't too many guys in the lineup right now who look like they can do a lot of damage.
Looking on the pitching side for the Twins, Vance Worley, one of the guys they brought in to help them win, supposed to help the Twins, he's gone now. Scott Diamond, another starting pitcher, was had some promise a couple of years ago, has been placed on waivers. What do the Twins have for pitching in 2014?
Well, believe it or not, the pitching is probably going to be their strength. I liked the signings of Ricky Nolasco and Phil Hughes, the two free agents they brought in. Nolasco is not what would be a number one starter on a contending team, but he's very consistent. For the last 7-8 years, he's given whatever team he's been playing for 200 innings with an ERA around 4, and as we know on the Twins, that's pretty good. I especially like the Phil Hughes signing, because he's a guy who, you might remember 5-6 years ago, when the Twins were shopping Johan Santana, that was the guy they wanted from the Yankees as the big prize in a potential trade, because he was one of the top pitching prospects in baseball at the time. He struggled with the Yankees, had a couple good years, a couple bad years, but he was really not a very good fit for that ballpark. There's a hope that he can come over in a more spacious environment in Target Field and get his career back on track, and I think there's a good chance that can happen, because he's still got pretty good stuff, and he's looked good this spring. You know, Kevin Correa, Mike Pelfrey, those guys are back of the rotation guys. But again, you know, if the Twins have 5 guys that are capable of just pitching into the 6th or 7th inning, I mean, that'll be a step up from where they've been the last couple of years. And their bullpen, that was the one thing last year that was very good. I mean, even in a 95-loss season the last couple of years, their bullpen has been solid. Glenn Perkins is one of the best closers in baseball, and they just locked him up to a long-term contract. They've got some good setup men in Jared Burton and Caleb Fielbar and Casey Fien, however it's pronounced, and some other long guys too. Sam Deduno is going to be in there. Anthony Swarzak had a very nice season last year. So that's why it's kind of frustrating that the Twins' lineup looks so bad, because it does look like their pitching staff, I'm certainly not going to say it's going to be one of the better ones in the league, but it should definitely be improved.
So if the Twins don't have not much hope for the Twins, for baseball fans, at least in the Midwest, looking, I know there's some Royals fans in our audience. Anything there before I let you go? I don't know if you've been following the Royals, if there's any hope there, that maybe if you're not following the Twins, maybe the Royals can give us something fun to watch.
Well, they obviously took some very positive steps last year. I mean, I don't think they'd had a winning season in 10 years and finished 10 games over 500, so that was pretty good for them. The problem, I think, with the Royals is their window may be closing a little bit because I don't think anyone expects James Shields, their number one starter, to re-sign with another long-term deal. So I think they really need to kind of strike while the iron is hot, so to speak. I really liked some of the moves they made this offseason. Omar Infante is a good pickup for them, and Billy Butler, Eric Hosmer, I really, really like those young hitters. I think those guys are really potential superstars. So they're still a team. I mean, that's basically the Royals are where the Twins want to be in a couple of years, where you have all these young guys coming up at the same time, and then you're able to sort of fill in the gaps with some free agency like they did, picking up a James Shields or a Santana that they had last year. I just don't think this year it's going to be enough for them to catch the Tigers, but you never know. Detroit's had some injuries and some bad luck this offseason too, so I wouldn't count them out. I mean, they should at the very least be a winning team, and with the expanded playoffs, sometimes that's enough to get you in the picture.
All right. Well, Matt, thanks so much for talking baseball with us again on Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
That's Matt Zimmer. He writes about the Minnesota Twins and baseball for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. The Minnesota Twins open their season on Monday in Chicago, and the home opener for the Twins is Monday, April 7th at Target Field in Minneapolis.